Amen. I'm going to open up in prayer and begin to share with you the state of the church for the year 2026. This is Saturday, January 24th. I'm recording this early just because tomorrow we canceled our service due to the snowstorm that's coming. So I'm going to pray and ask God to help as I share this, and it'll be recorded. So Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to help me to communicate what is the state of our church currently in anticipation of what might be happening in the year to come. We just pray for your guidance and blessing as always. We need you. We look to you for our direction. You are the Lord. You are the great shepherd of the sheep. And we look to you, Lord God, to lead our church and to guide us in all that you want us to do. I pray for your blessing and guidance on this message today in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the state of the church, I have a slide up here that has a big picture of people, because that's what the church really is. It's the people. It's not a building per se. It's us. We are the church. And there's a great scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 that says to the leaders of the church, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. So we got to remember the church belongs to God. It's not our church. It's his flock. And we are simply shepherds or laborers along with God to care for the people that he's placed under us. So I like this scripture because it shows our dependence upon the Lord, but it also shows that we have a responsibility to care for the people that God has brought into our realm of influence. It says we're to watch over them, not because you must, but because you're willing. And I praise God for the leaders that God's brought to our church, that we are willing. We're not doing it by coercion. We're doing it because we're willing, as God wants us to be. So just a quick snapshot of last year, you know, who is the flock that's under our care? And attendance-wise, we had right now currently about 300 people we call active on our church roster. What that is people, if you're active, it means you've been here recently, maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months, but you're coming at least somewhat actively. We call that our roster, and currently that's made up of about 77 to 90 kids, and then the rest would be adults. Our average attendance for the year has been January of 2025, about 165 on a Sunday morning, and then now this month, January 2026, almost 200 people. So there's been a little bit of a growth over the last year in terms of people attending. What's really amazing to me is we had a total of 241 visitors last year, which that's a lot. That's, you know, if you figure divide that by 50 weeks, that's like at least four people a week, roughly four or five people a week that are coming to the church to visit. And it's great for us to make sure that we're always welcoming and reaching out, meeting people, inviting them to lunch, because you never know the people that God's bringing here, if they're looking for Jesus, they're looking for a church community, they're looking for a place to belong, and we want to always create a welcoming environment. So I count these visitors who come as part of our flock, because I'm wondering, is Jesus sending them? Is he sending them to us to offer care for? So we want to make sure we're open and welcoming to them. And then another category I would add to that is the team that goes out to share the gospel regularly. This past year, we shared the gospel 1,327 times with people in our community. I count these as sort of our future flock. It's people that we're reaching out and inviting into God's family. So that's kind of a big snapshot of, you know, the people that are part of our family, the ones that we have now, the ones that are visiting and checking out, and the ones that we're reaching out and inviting. But I just pray that we would always be a welcoming church community and always greet the people, always love on them. And maybe you could take another step and invite somebody out to your house or to lunch and get a chance to know them better. Next, I want to talk a little bit about the finances. So a couple scriptures here You know, we're not a church that preaches the prosperity gospel, but at the same time, there is a principle in the Bible about giving and receiving. You know, when you give, somehow God's blessing does come back. It's not always in financial matters. It can be many other ways that God might bless you, but the fact of the matter is when you give to the Lord, He does bless you. And so I wanted to share a couple scriptures, and the reason why I'm pointing that out is because our church has been a very giving church, very generous church, and I think because of that, God continues to bless us, you know, financially. So 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. So we're not here begging people or coercing people. You have to decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. And we work hard not to put people under pressure that way. It says in the Bible here that God loves a person who gives cheerfully. I mean, if you want to get a certain aspect of God's love toward you, be a cheerful giver. God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all that you need. So when we're a cheerful giver, you see there's something that God does to you. He says He will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So it's almost like there's a double blessing when you're generous. Not only does God meet your own need, but you end up having an abundance that you can share with others. So I'd like to encourage you, you know, especially if you find yourself in need all the time, maybe God wants you to learn to give. It's something that He's called us all to do, to be generous to others. So God loves a cheerful person, a cheerful giver. Proverbs 11:24 says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. Again, it's a principle of God in His kingdom. Give freely and you'll become more wealthy. Be stingy, you'll lose everything. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. I always have loved that scripture that somehow when you bless other people, there's a blessing that comes back to you. When you refresh others, you yourself are refreshed. A great example of that is when Jesus was at the well. If you remember the woman at the well, He sent the disciples into the town to buy the lunch, the food for the day. Jesus was hungry, and He began to minister to this woman and eventually led her to a place where she believed that He was the Messiah. And then when the apostles finally came back with the food, Jesus said He was no longer hungry. And they were surprised. They wondered, who brought Him food? And Jesus' reply was, my meat is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. And I've always felt like at least at some level, God took care of this need in Jesus' life because He was caring for the needs of others. So somehow, like I say, it may not always be in financial ways. Somehow God will always refresh you when you refresh others. And then Proverbs 19:17 says, if you help the poor, you're actually lending to the Lord. That's really unbelievable to think about that. When you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and He is the one who will repay you. That's a beautiful scripture, just knowing that God is involved in watching over us as we deal with our finances, whether we're holding back, whether we're generous, whether we're giving. God is the one who takes care of making our books balance. All right, so our income and expenses last year, total income for the year was $527,683. And then our expenses were almost $400,000. And so I want to break that down a little bit so you can kind of see at a high level at least how the money was spent. So you can see on the upper left there, 21% was saved. We didn't spend 21%, which is great because we're able to save it because we have some projects that we're doing here this year, and that's going to go to help pay for some of that. 11% of our income went to property, the building, you know, be supplies, equipment. We had to purchase some sound equipment, some new computers this year. It's our utilities, things like that, things to do with the building or property and maintenance. And then 13% goes to administration, which would be operations here. It could be what we need to run the office. It could be the ministries that we do internally, like Sunday school, like Shine, like youth group. I think No Place Left, our witnessing teams are part of that. But it's really any ministries that we utilize internally, the money that supports those comes in that part of the budget under admin. And then 26% is personnel, which that goes to the staff that are here. We have 2 full-time, 3 part-time staff at this point. And that's the personnel cost. And then what I really love about our breakdown here is our largest percentage of giving is toward missions, 29%. I've always had a goal to hit about 30. We're almost there. 30% of our giving that comes to us to give it away. So in other words, it's supporting things outside of our four walls. It's not for us. It's not for our buildings, not for our staff, not for our ministries internally. It's something outside of our building. And that amounts to right around $146,000 that we gave to both missions, foreign and domestic, and as well what we call benevolence. And I'll break that down on the right side. You'll see a little breakdown of that giving. So almost, well, roughly $60,000 was given to Guatemala. And that includes what we send down there monthly to help support Hector and Magda and Arg and the ministry they have toward the school children. We have money that goes down there to support widows with food every month. There's ministry toward kids without food that are in the school. There's a lot of things that are being done through that ministry. We also send money down every year for the projects. For example, right now there's a few people from the church that are down there doing mission work with Kurt Klingelhofer. They took a team down there, and we send money additionally down there to help maybe build a house or build a kitchen or buy stoves, things like that. So that's all included in that $60,000 that goes to Guatemala. And then benevolence, we spent almost $32,000 last year in benevolence. So what that is for needs. And some of those are obviously inside the church, but many of them are outside the church. It's maybe somebody in the church needed help with getting a car fixed, or maybe their rent was due, or they lost their job and needed help with groceries or something like that. So we help people internally, but there's also help that we've given to people in our community. We get calls weekly for people needing help with utilities, help with rent, help with whatever, food. We don't always give. We try to be wise and judicious in how we spend the money. But if we err, we do err on the side of giving. So try to show mercy where we can. And, you know, God has provided so much for us. I think in some ways, one of the reasons why God has blessed us financially is because we're willing to bless others. We also give money to local outreach. So these would be ministries not in our church, but in our community. So things like Alliance Pregnancy Center, LifeWise, which is ministering in the schools this year. We have the Bow Down Ministries, which Frank and Becky are doing out into our community. We support Clothed in Righteousness, things like that. So these are ministries in our community that are outside of our local church. We call it local outreach. And then we have foreign missions, about $26,000 there. And that's now Guatemala is excluded from this list right now, but we have missionaries that are working in Greece, in the Middle East, in India, in Africa, in the Ukraine, and in Hong Kong. And so we're supporting people like that are out, you know, building the kingdom, planting churches, evangelism, other kinds of ministry. And I feel privileged that God has provided enough money for us to meet our own needs and then be able to give to others as well to help support his work, both here as well as other parts of the world. So that's a little breakdown of our financial side. Next, I want to talk about some plans for 2026. As I mentioned before, we're going to be updating our kitchen. Actually, the work is beginning now. We're going to be tearing out the kitchen, reinstalling some cabinets, making it a little bigger, and hopefully it'll be a better place for the ladies who go in there and labor, for the kids in Shine, for funeral dinners, for church dinners, or what have you. It'll make it a little better for everybody. And then this spring, sounds like from what my last communication was with the architect, that he'll have us maybe by April or May ready to go and start building the new addition, which will be out here on the west side of the building. And here's a picture of what it might look like. This is on the left side. There is the new construction. It'll be second floor is going to be one large open room, and the bottom floor will be three Sunday school rooms. One of the rooms will have a room divider instead of walls, so it can actually be opened up to two large rooms, or one large room made up of two. But it'll be three separate Sunday school rooms, and there will be one restroom there. It'll be a family restroom, so men or women can use it, and it'll just be a single toilet with a locked door, and then some storage will be in there. And then there will be a connecting hallway that'll be right. This hallway in the back of the auditorium here, that'll just go straight through and connect to the new building. So that'll begin hopefully April and May of this year, and we'll have that done, hopefully sooner rather than later. What else is happening? As I mentioned before, we're going to be having a transition to a new pastor this year. It's actually going to take place on July 1st. We set the date where that transition will actually happen. So sometime between now and then, we'll be ordaining Ted as a pastor here. And then on July 1st, he will be taking the lead role here at the church. I'm going to continue to be here. I'm going to sit in that same seat as we do every Sunday. And we will be involved with discipleship and evangelism like we are today, maybe even more so. So I'm excited for the changes God is making. I believe it's a wise decision for us to make this transition right now. And I'm fully confident in Ted's ability to take us to the next season, and however God will use him to lead our church going forward. I'm confident in his love for Jesus, his love for the Word, and his ability to co-labor with others who are on the team to help. So we're looking forward to that. I hope you'll all just get behind that and really support Ted and others as we take the next chapter in the life of Alliance Christian Center. Next, I want to read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, as each has received a gift. So notice the word each, a gift. So everybody has a gift. I don't know what yours is. I know what some of mine might be, but I want you to know that God has gifted every one of you uniquely. If you remember when we shared the first slide, there was a picture of all the people. That's really what the church is. It's made up of many individuals who have different and unique gifts, and we are to use our gifts to serve one another. Somebody might be able to teach a child. Somebody could lead worship. Somebody could preach. Somebody could show hospitality. Somebody could reach out to a homeless person. There's just so many different kinds of gifts. They're all really, in a way, representations of Jesus and how he would minister to people. But somehow he distributes that to individuals, and together, collectively, we become like the body of Christ. People often talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus, and that's really carried out through the functioning of the gifts of the Spirit and how each person steps up. So I want to encourage you, if you've never really discovered what your gifts might be, maybe talk to somebody. I think there may be even on our website a place you can go to take a little test to see what your spiritual gifts might be, and find a place to serve. So it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So what is a steward? It means that you're taking care of something that doesn't actually belong to you. The gift that you have belongs to God, but somehow he's decided to share it with us. And he says, now I want you to be a good steward of it. Remember the parable that Jesus talked about where a man received a talent and he invested it and he received 10 more. He had 10, he received 10 more. The other guy had 5, he received 5 more. The one guy that had 1, it says he went and buried it. And when Jesus came back, when the Lord came back, he expected some kind of return. He expected that that would have been invested and it would grow. But the man said, hey, I was afraid because I know you're an austere man. I didn't want to lose it, so I buried it in the ground. Here's your talent back. And the Lord really wasn't happy with that guy. So I encourage you to just take whatever gift God's given you and recognize the stewardship that you have. You know, the responsibility to actually use that gift for God's purpose. And it says the purpose is in order that in everything God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. How is God glorified in the church? By every member using the gifts that God's given them. Okay, I want to talk just briefly. I got a little picture up there of just different ways that people serve, but I just want to call out, and I'm going to miss somebody here. If I do, don't be offended. But I want to call out different people who are ministry leaders. And I was going to have them maybe have their teams stand up, but obviously there's nobody here right now. So in your heart, if you're part of this team, stand up. But I want to call out Luke Heslip, who's now leading the worship team. We have great people on our worship team who play every Sunday. It's a faithful group. They're dedicated. It's a commitment of time and energy. And I appreciate every one of them who donate their time and give to serve us so that we might be able to worship together. Jeff Heslip, who's leading the sound crew and all the team that's involved there. Again, that's a lot of work. A lot of work to set up the new stuff we have here and learning how to run everything. It's a lot of time and energy and dedication there as well. Nate Hostetler, who's leading up there with the video crew and the technical team running slides and things like that. That's a constant work as well. You know, using the technology to help support the work we're doing here and make it easy for people to receive. We have Nikki Shockey, who's leading the nursery and, you know, taking care of that ministry. We have Catherine and Nate Laura, who are in charge of the kids ministry, which includes Sunday school and Shine. I mean, a lot of work goes into these ministries, and there's a lot of people on this team, which I couldn't name them all, but I want to say thank you to all the people who are working either as Sunday school teachers or coming to Shine, whether you're at the registration table, fixing the food, playing the games, teaching the classes. I mean, we really care about the next generation and pouring ministry into them. And apart from the people that are dedicated the way you are, we would never be able to do that. So thank you again for all those who are committed to that ministry. We have Abby and Micah, who are leading the youth group, and Brianna and Ethan, who are leading the junior high. Again, now we're talking about older kids who have a different need, a different area of ministry. And I really appreciate those who are part of those teams that, again, are dedicating their time to help serve kids that are in this funny age bracket where they're trying to become adults. They're still kids in some ways. There's a lot of change, a lot of growth. But to try to help them remain focused on spiritual life as well as, you know, becoming an adult, what that means in our world today. So I appreciate the dedication of all those who serve those kids. And then we have Eric Reynolds, who's taken the lead role with our LifeWise group. You know, it's a burden to reach the next generation, but LifeWise enables us to go into the public schools and minister there. It sounds like I heard that maybe opening up another school here soon. So we'll be in 2 schools, 2 different age groups. And thanks again, Eric, for your work and all those who are helping support that either financially or by volunteering your time. We have Terry Heslip, who ministers in the area of greeting ministry. You saw, as I mentioned before, we had 241 visitors to our church this past year. the greeters are the front line of that. They see these people as soon as they walk in the door. So having a person there with a friendly face, friendly smile, a handshake, a greeting, a welcoming heart is so important. It's a very important ministry for us as we try to welcome new people into our church family. We have Mike and Gloria who are engaged in the marriage ministry, a burden and a desire to see our marriages strengthened and grow. My wife and I joined up with a re-engage group this year, so we're going through that as well. And it's a lot of good stuff that's there. But, you know, if you need help with marriage, reach out to Mike and Gloria. They'll help you or help point you in a direction that might help you strengthen you. We have our elders, Ted, George Hill, Jerry Shockey, Greg Anders, and Andrew DeMuth. These are men who serve here as elders in our church. I just pray that you would pray for them, encourage them, you know, let them speak into your life, get to know them. And thank God that we have shepherds who love Jesus, who love his word, and who help guide our church. We have Adam Pfaff, Eric DeMuth, and Jason Armstrong. We serve as deacons here, taking care of a lot of the physical aspects of the church and needs that are there. I appreciate their heart and their willingness to serve and just to be available and to take on that responsibility. We have Jenny and Brooklyn who clean the church and keep it clean. Every day you come in here, you see a clean church. It's because somebody takes the time and energy to do it. And I thank you for all that you do every day, usually twice a week, to clean up the church and make it presentable for everybody who comes here. And we have Frank and Becky who have really given themselves to the Bow Down Ministry, reaching out to the homeless with food every week, and all of those who have helped volunteer time to help them. It's a great ministry in our community, and it's a simple way for us to show the love of Jesus. We have Kurt Klingelhofer, who every year leads the Guatemala outreach. As I said, they're down there right now as we speak, and Kurt has been dedicated to helping Mark Richard for many years and then going down and serving in the other areas of ministry there. I appreciate his faithfulness and his knowledge, his understanding, his ability to solve problems. He's just doing a great job. Anybody who ever wants to take a short-term mission trip, Guatemala is a great place to go because it's not that far and you don't have to deal with time delays. We also have people who volunteer and work at the Alliance Pregnancy Center. Lisa Gonzalez, Caitlin Heil is on staff down there with Lisa. April and Ted are on the board, and they volunteer much of their time to reach that need in our community to help, you know, girls who may become abortion-minded, to help them understand what exactly they're thinking about doing and maybe look at alternatives and prevent some of this from happening and maybe see some children saved, help the husbands get involved and see new families get established and begin to walk in the ways of the Lord. It's a great ministry in our community, and I'm glad that our church has a representative number of people down there helping to support that work. I know Nikki Welch and others have gone down to help serve at Clothed in Righteousness. Again, it's a great ministry toward the homeless in our community. Any of you that are looking for a place to serve, they can always use volunteers down there. We also have a few guys that help out at the Toolbox, which is a men's breakfast once a month. I think Luke leads the worship. Ted does the slides. We have guys that help out with the lesson from time to time. But again, it's supporting another ministry that's meeting a need. It's reaching out to men in our community. We have our harvest team that goes out making disciples. I was really blessed this year that we had 143 individual people actually go out and share the harvest at least once. We keep the names of everybody who goes, but we have a team that goes out very regularly. And I just want to mention a couple, Pete, Greg Springer, Oleg, Shane. Recently, Martez has joined us, but Karen Walker has been there, others that come on a regular basis to help us reach our community for Jesus. I'm thankful for the small group leaders that we have in our church, Terry Landis, April DeMuth, Renee Carr is just opening up a new fellowship for women, Kurt Klingelhofer, Jerry and Nikki Shockey for the young adults, Sandra, who has a ministry for women on Friday nights, as well as a prayer ministry. So all these are making it possible for you to be involved in tighter community, getting to know people on a more of a one-on-one basis. We have a prayer team, which I am so grateful for. Heidi Yeager leads that group, and she has built a solid team of people on both Facebook, where we have our ACC prayer chain, and as well as people that she texts out to, keeps them informed about what's the prayer needs. And, you know, she's following up with people. When people put a prayer request in, she'll call them or text them and find out, are there any updates? And I really appreciate the heart and effort that she puts into that prayer ministry. I think it's one of the most important ministries in a church, is that you have a solid base for prayer. I appreciate Randy, who comes up every week. We just started this recently to do the kind of the after service prayer, to make it possible for people to think about what is it that Jesus is wanting to do in my life. Maybe something you heard during the worship, maybe during the spiritual gifts, maybe through the preaching, but it gives everybody a chance to respond to something that God is doing in their life. It's very meaningful to be able to just kind of put a tent stake in the ground and say, God spoke this to me today, and I'm going to get prayer for it, and I'm going to start seeing some changes take place in my life. And I really appreciate the heart that Randy has and the effort he puts into that ministry. Let's see. With that, I would like to talk just for a minute about what I call a balanced church life. You know, as we transition our church to new leadership, something that I want you to know will always remain, and that is there are foundational principles that we build upon, like the Great Commission, the Great Commandment. You know, whether I'm leading the church, or if Ted becomes a pastor, or after Ted, whoever the next guy would be, we're committed to a vision, not just a man. We're committed to a purpose, and Jesus has called us to go make disciples of all nation and to love God with all of our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We call that the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Three principles: make disciples, love God, love your neighbor. And that's the vision that we have. And these five things, A, B, C, D, E, easy to remember, are ways that we can actually step into that. So we talk about the importance of abiding in Christ, helping people to get a good prayer life, a good time in the Word, so that you can learn to receive from Jesus. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We have to be a branch that's locked into the vine. And so, to me, a very important part of our church life is helping people to learn how to pray, how to be in the Word, how to obey Jesus, abiding in Christ. B is the word Bible, and it's because we believe the Bible. We want to preach the Bible. We want to obey the Word of God. We want to build the principles in our church on what the Bible says. If we have questions about life, we search the Scripture. So the Bible becomes the foundation of our belief as well as our practice, and it should always be that way. The C stands for community. We really want people to feel like they're part of a family, part of a community of people who know each other, who care for each other, you know, and make use of one-on-one time. Like I say, invite somebody out to lunch or over to your house sometime, or join a small group, start a Bible study, gather a group of people around you that can begin to know you and love you and care for you. That's community. Discipleship is where we are, first of all, following Jesus on our own, but we're helping others to do the same. You know, Paul told Timothy, the things you've heard from me, commit to faithful men who will teach others. So there should always be in the church this constant chain of events where one person's helping another, and they begin to help the next one, and they begin to help the next one. Discipleship should happen everywhere, by everyone, in every ministry. It should happen in our church. It should happen at the pregnancy center. It should happen at Bow Down Ministry. It should happen in Shine. It should happen in the youth group. We're called to make disciples. That is the mission of the church. We can do many, many things, but if we're not making disciples, we're missing on the most important thing Jesus called us to do. And then finally, E is about evangelism, and that is that we are called to reach the lost. That's part of the Great Commission. In other words, you can't disciple somebody unless they're saved. Or perhaps you're discipling somebody towards salvation. But either way, evangelism and discipleship are two parts of what I would call the Great Commission. And so we want to make sure that we're not just pouring all of our efforts into our building, our people, inside the four walls here, but we are reaching out. We're trying to find the lost. We are laboring with God to reach lost people, to help them also become part of God's family and to be discipled and to build community. So that's the vision of the church, the framework, the balanced church life that we should have. And I want to close now by just saying, here are some ways that you might come alongside of us in 2026 and beyond to help us in what our goals are or what our aspirations are for this year. First of all, reach out. Like I said before, we have so many visitors coming to our church. I hope that continues, maybe even more this year. Thank you when you invite people. Maybe they come and check it out. But let's be welcoming and inviting. So everybody here can reach out. You know, we do that 360 thing at the end of the service, at the end of worship, say, hey, take a 360 and see if you don't know somebody. That's intentional. I'm doing that because I'm hoping in that time you might get up out of your chair, look around, actually go say hello to somebody or meet somebody. You know, I know there may be a day you're having a bad day and you want to sit there, but I encourage you to get up, move around, talk to somebody. You may meet your next best friend right here. Next thing you can do to come alongside is just continue to give. You know, we don't take up offerings here. I think you all know that we keep the offering boxes there. We have electronic ways to give, but I encourage you to continue to give. We have a very generous church. I appreciate always the things that you do. Remember, we are having a building project this year. We're estimating maybe $400,000 to $500,000 to build that. If you want to contribute to that, just write building project on, if you put a check or if you do it electronically, just so we know that that money was given particularly for that. Third thing you can do is help when we have work parties. You know, we're going to be redoing that kitchen here right now. You know, Andrew and Luke, I think, are kind of leading that effort. So they need help. Go help them. You know, come down for an hour or two and help do some work. And then, obviously, when we build the new building, we're going to have some parts of that we'll subcontract out. But a large portion of it we're going to do here internally. So make yourself available. Help out. It's a good way to build community. It's a good way to make relationships. You know, the other day, I think someone mentioned we went down and cut some firewood for Tana Graber. It was a great time. It was a good time of fellowship. You kind of knit together with the guys that were there, even though you were doing the work. But many hands made light work. We got a lot done with just a handful of people. So it accomplished a need in her life, but it also met a need in our lives and being able to build a relationship. Fourth thing you can do, come alongside the church, is pray. Pray as we make these transitions in leadership this year. Pray that God would help us do it wisely, that it would go smoothly, that we would do it in His timing and His way. Pray for us. You know, pray that God would help us. Five, find a place to serve. Figure out what is your spiritual gift, or just go volunteer somewhere for a while. We could always use help in the Sunday school. We could always use help in nursery. We could always use help in Shine. We could help in the youth group, help on the worship team, help, you know. And if you see something that's not here, start something. I mean, Frank started a ministry. He had a burden to go reach the lost people. No one else in here started that ministry. No one started that ministry and said, hey, Frank, can you go do this? That was his burden. And we've gotten behind what he's doing there. So maybe you have a burden to do something that we're not even doing, and maybe that's God prompting you to step out. So find a place to serve either among what's already happening or go start something and see what God might do with it. And then five, seek to grow in these five building blocks. Maybe this year you want to say, I want to grow in my abiding in Christ. I want to develop my prayer life, my time in the Word. Or maybe You need to focus on community. You might say, you know what? I've been in the church for a year. I don't hardly know anybody. This year, I'm going to focus on building some relationships and building community. I'm going to get to know three or four other people. Maybe it's discipleship. Maybe you need to get into a relationship to be discipled, but maybe you need to be in a relationship where you're discipling someone else. But either way, God would want you to be involved in that at some level, and I pray that you would step into that. And then maybe it's evangelism. We go out into the streets regularly every Tuesday and every Thursday, every fourth Sunday to share the gospel. We always are open to bringing anybody along with us to learn, to watch by example, to see if God would might even inspire you to make that part of your life as part of a ministry focus. So there's a lot of ways you can be involved and grow. I pray that you will become more involved in the coming year. And then finally, this last statement. Let's live out the great commandment. What's the great commandment? To love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. So let's live out that. Loving God, loving my neighbor, in such a way that the Great Commission becomes our highest priority. See, if I love God, I start doing the things that are important to Him. And if I love my neighbor as myself, I really care about their soul. What's going to happen with them? So let's live out the Great Commandment in such a way that the Great Commission becomes our highest priority. So with that, I'm going to pray and trust that God will guide us into this new year of 2026. And again, I want to say thank you to all of you who have helped and served and gave and loved and suffered with us, rejoiced with us all through this past year. I look forward to see what God will do in the coming year. And maybe next year there'll be new people among us because of the efforts that you've put out in praying for them, reaching out to them, inviting them, loving them, evangelizing them. So, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to help us to set our eyes upon you, Lord, because we want to do what you want us to do. We're not trying to do something and asking you to put your stamp of approval on it. We just want to say, Lord, you guide us. You show us what you want us to do. We just want to have that heart that's responding, quick to respond, quick to say yes, quick to obey you. I pray, Lord God, that your hand would be upon Alliance Christian Center as we go into this new year, new leadership, new building projects, new opportunities, that we would see the guidance of your Holy Spirit and the encouragement from one another to step into the things you're calling us to do. We ask you for it in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.